Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
720 WGN, John Hanson in for Steve Bertrand on this Friday afternoon. Thanks so much for joining us here today. I imagine a lot of the stories you hear over the weekend, unfortunately, hopefully not, but if the past is an indicator of the future, carjackings, of course, continue to be a huge story in our area. It's not just the city, it's the suburbs too. And recently a task force has made a database that makes it a little bit easier for law enforcement to interact between municipalities so one isn't just on an island. Joining us now, Cook County Sheriff Tom Dart. And Tom, I imagine that's part of the reason why you want this database. Police departments need this analysis to be shared between them so that everyone has a bigger grasp of what's happening.
Exactly, John. I mean, the public is rightfully concerned, upset, scared because of the carjackings. And I always try to tell people, listen, it's not unique to Chicago. So lest we go down that road where we're saying, oh, Chicago is, having all these issues and blah, 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 Chicago this, Chicago that. This is a national issue. And in virtually every major city, they've had humongous upticks. And we're not even the worst. Mm-hmm. So my only point is that this is a national epidemic or pandemic, whatever you want to call it. And so us pulling together the different entities and working with Chicago, which has been doing a great, job pulling a lot of the stuff together, enforcement and so on, pulling all the different players together into one sort of umbrella group, having these databases, are more than just a bunch of sort of wonky people sitting in a room saying, oh, that's an interesting data point. No, it's allowed us to develop strategies. It's allowed us to do recoveries. It's allowed us to literally to follow people who are stealing cars with helicopters, to be on the other end sitting there arresting them without some crazy chase or anything like jeopardizing someone's lives. And so, yeah, it desperately needs to get done, John, because, as I say, Chicago had great data, but the surrounding suburbs, none of them were linked in.
Right.
And if you were a police chief in one town and the town right next to you was having an uptick in it, you wouldn't necessarily even know that. So
right.
It's been very helpful.
The study kind of breaks down, or the database breaks down, the number one targeted vehicle, Toyota Camry, Jeep Grand Cherokee number two, Nissan Altima number three. The days of the week that Sundays are the most likely to have a carjacking, or most frequent, I should say. And that data is interesting, right? And I think it can be some knowledge, but a little too much knowledge can sometimes be a bad thing, right? Like, people need to be vigilant no matter which car they're driving, when they're driving it, where they're driving it.
You're so right. I mean, because I would hesitate. I haven't looked at the list lately, but you'd probably be hard-pressed to find a type of vehicle that hasn't been.
Right.
So there isn't as if, I have this car, so I'm safe. I don't need to worry about it. No, it's a broad spectrum. So you, no matter where you're at, you need to be on your toes. And no matter what car you're driving, you need to be as well. And, yeah, there's certain neighborhoods, unfortunately, they have a lot more carjacking than others. But is our, heat mapping and everything else shows you, it's pretty prevalent everywhere.
Yeah. And the data changes, too, right, over time. Obviously, you're dealing with, especially the early onset of gathering data, limited sample sizes, right? And as the data continues and as police techniques change, criminals aren't dumb. Some of them are, but a lot of them, they know what the techniques are being used and they can adjust accordingly. So I guess it remains to be, you got to do what you can do, whatever it is you can do.
Yeah. And, as I say, to get beyond the sort of esoteric data part of it,
right.
Just the hardcore stuff, like the number of recoveries that we've made since we started this like 9 months ago has doubled. So we're recovering double the amount of cars that had been done before. But the other big thing is the recovery time. So from the time the car was stolen until it's recovered has been cut in half now. And that's huge because that is half less time that this individual can be out committing a crime with the car they just carjacked. And just like 2 days ago or 3 days ago, I'm losing track of time here, but we grabbed a car 2 hours after it had been stolen and carjacked, and they had already retinted the windows, and they were about to do some other changes to the car, obviously for purposes of committing a crime, but we got it 2 hours later. So we were able to prevent that. So the data has been leading us in a lot of directions. It's been giving us a lot of ideas on, you know, who we can be looking at to be involved with this. So it's very broad. A lot of it is really random. So we're not going to find like, oh, if we just go after this gang, you know, we can put this in our rearview mirror. No. There's a lot of just is purely random. So once again, to your point earlier, John, you got to stay on your toes. But it has led us to patterns. It's led us to sort of strategies that are being used. And then we're trying to get out in front of them. We're working with the car dealerships. We're working with the different, you know, ride-sharing companies as well. And the car dealerships have been fantastic. And that's really valuable because they've been starting to steal cars off of lots. Not starting, they've been doing it, but that's been a bit of a problem. But working with the car dealerships, you know, there is all sorts of data that these cars now have built into them and technologies where they can give us darn close to lifetime information. It is really helpful to us.
There's nothing more counterproductive than media brewing up wars between people that are trying to make the city safer. I am just curious, though, with the prosecution rates fairly low for these carjackings, would your job be easier if more people were being prosecuted for that without reserving judgment, or feel free to respond how you want?
Yeah, you know, John, I used to be a prosecutor many, many years ago. And so, you know, catching bad guys, prosecuting them, yeah, that's what we're all in the business of doing. The unfortunate thing is that you need to make sure you have the evidence to do it. And I think everyone across the spectrum agrees that with the pandemic, everyone's wearing a mask. In the old days, anybody you saw walking the street or driving a car with a mask on, you knew bad person, problem afoot here. Nowadays, everybody has a mask on. So think about that for a second. When someone comes up to carjack somebody, A, it's wildly, you know, unsettling event to occur. So you're already startled. And now the person carjacking you has a mask on. And so does that make it tricky for that person to identify that? Yeah. So unless you get the car really soon after, it could have gone through two or three different people's hands. So sometimes you're left with charging them with an offense that you would rather not do, but you cannot prove that was the person that stuck the person up and put the gun to them. So my only point there is that these are particularly complicated cases, because you really do, for carjacking, you have to be able to have someone say, that's the person that put the gun to my head and took off with the gun. And even that person frequently is also shuffling the car off to somebody. So in this area particularly, it is tricky and it is difficult. So and that's where, once again, just trying to be proactive is helpful, getting people, to your point, John, you said earlier, people to have their radar up and to be, you know, aware of their surroundings and things like that. And then the more we can recover cars, and then, frankly, we do a lot of interviews then of people that are taken into custody to find out what is their mindset, what are they up to, what can they tell us.
Right.
And collectively, that's been helpful, but they are tricky cases, though, I will tell you that.
Sheriff Dart, we're really out of time. I just want to leave the listener with one thing, and they profile Anthony Jones in this Sun-Times case. He was someone who drove away. He got shot when he was carjacked. He remembered a victim that had been shot when she wasn't resisting. What's your, if someone is in that situation, they're listening right now, and in the future they're in that situation, I was always taught if someone points a gun at you, you give them everything you got. Is that still good policy?
You're damn right. Honest to God, John, I have told my kids that very thing, because when my kids are driving, I say, give them the car. You can always get a new car. There's insurance. You cannot get your life back.
Yeah. All right, Tom Dart, Sheriff, we appreciate your time, okay?
Oh, John, thank you so much.
Take care. Good luck this weekend and beyond.
Thank you.
All right, news next from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom.